Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. This beautiful Mets season that came out of nowhere is really about to get defined starting tonight in Atlanta. This is the one last thing that they need to prove to beat that damn team in that House of Horrors. And honestly, until I see them do it, it's been going on for 25 years. Going on since the late 90s. Until I see them actually beat Atlanta 2 out of 3. That's what I want. I'm not worried about postseason. I want 2 out of 3 from Atlanta to get to the postseason. But until I actually see them do it, I just can't bring myself to trust that they will.
Okay, so you guys, you can't hide here. You can't hide. You're going to have to cross this bridge. And I know the Met fans are excited. I'm sure you're, as you just communicated, a little nervous. You've got some reservations. You've got all the emotions that are at play that really make it awesome being a sports fan. All right. I'm going to give you an example. You played golf with Jerry over the weekend,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. We all play. We all hack it around. We all have clubs in our bag that we try to purposely avoid. And I'll give you an example of mine, right? So I'm not going to hit a 4-iron well. So if I'm like 200, generally, if I'm 200 yards away, I might take a hybrid where if I nut it, it's probably too long, but I have a better chance of getting it in the air and getting it toward the green. So I use the wrong club, okay? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I'm purposely avoiding the 4-iron because I can't handle it. You got to stop trying to avoid the Braves. You need, this is like, to me, this is what you should want this. Number one, it's not the same team. There's no Acuna. Riley's been down. Olsen's been down. Not that they can't just turn back time and they're very good players and have a great couple of days. But this is what I would want. Like, from the Jets' perspective, give me the Pats. From the Yankees' perspective, give me the Red Sox. Giants, you get Dallas. You got waxed 40-zip last year. Here they come this week. This is what you want. It's the Braves. And in a lot of ways, it shouldn't have to validate the season that you've had, even if you get swept and then handle business in Milwaukee. But in your hearts and in your minds, it will. So go down there and win some games.
Well, I do want this series. I just want to see them actually beat this damn team for once.
Are you confident?
Well, I can't be. I'm confident in this team. I have been for months, but I've also been waiting for this series, circling this series. This to me, like the Mets taking 3 out of 4 from Philly. Yeah, okay, great. The Mets winning a West Coast trip. Yeah, great. It was always to me going to be about what they do against Atlanta. This will show me what they are made of. It showed us all in 2022. That was it. All they had to do was win one freaking game against that Braves team. All the battle, all back and forth, all year long. Mets had the huge lead. Braves nipping at their heels. Braves nipping at then the Braves caught him. Then the Mets caught him. Finally, it was just head-to-head. Here we go. Mets and Braves for the division. All the Mets had to do was win one game, and they would have won the NL East. They got swept with Scherzer, DeGrom, and Bassett on the mound. So, yeah, I'm scarred from that. And then that was the end of this core. Not only they got swept, they got then ousted easily in the first round. And then last year, they were awful. Well, now this year's been great. Again, until they meet their nemesis and look them in the eye. Like, from a Braves perspective, I guarantee you Atlanta, although they're struggling this year and down, they're like, oh, the Mets are coming to town?
Mm-hmm.
This is where we
I know their fans are saying that. I'm not sure if the Braves are saying that.
I mean, the Braves themselves were celebrating and dancing on the Mets' graves. They don't have any respect for the Mets. So this is, it's personal for me. Unfortunately, I don't have any say in the matter.
Yeah.
I have no control over it. The Mets do. It should be personal. So I want this, but I need to see this group. Once they beat Atlanta 2 out of 3, let's say they do, and get to the postseason by doing it and celebrating their house, then to me I have full, total belief where there's no roadblocks. But until that, there is a mental roadblock saying, yeah, but you've overcome everything. You've been as resilient as a team as we've seen, but can you do it against them in their house when it counts?
All right, so let me ask you this. Say, I understand where you're coming from, but and that's the emotional side.
Yeah.
But the side that really matters is there's 6 games to go, and they're not all against the Braves. So let me ask you, say if you lose 2 out of 3.
Bad.
Say if you lose 2 out of 3 and then you go to Milwaukee, maybe they rest some guys, whatever, yep. or they don't, and you win two out of three, and you're a playoff team, which I believe you will be no matter what, and the Braves don't get in. The Braves in their final series, they lose two out of three, whatever, the numbers work out. So the Mets are a playoff team, the Padres are a playoff team, and the Diamondbacks are a playoff team, and the Braves are on the outside looking in. Because they lost two out of three, will that give you pause in Atlanta? Will that give you pause what they can do in the postseason?
I will at some point need to see this team beat the Braves. So it will be irrelevant what happens against Atlanta in the postseason if your scenario plays out, because the Braves won't be there. Just like in 2000, the Mets got to the World Series, but they didn't beat the Braves by doing it. And there's still that feeling of...
You enjoyed it less?
No, but I'm saying that they never beat the Braves. So they avoided the Braves in 2000 getting to a World Series, which is great. You enjoy it, but they never slayed the beast. Still 25 freaking years later. So in that case, it would be still, they went head-to-head and lost to them again. And then what do you think is going to happen next year? So I'd feel the same way. I need to see this group, Alonso, Lindor, Nimmo, that core group, look the Braves in the eye and beat them and get on equal footing with that team, especially in that. I need to see it.
See, to me, you guys just look the best team in the division in the eye, and you won three out of four games in Queens. I get it. The other stuff is...
We've beaten the Phillies before,
I know.
Though, so you're right.
Like, I hear you.
It's an impressive win, but it means more.
This is what you need.
This is the one I want.
All the turns, all the twists, all the debates, all the calls, all the amazing days where we came on the air and you're fired up and we're fired up. And then there's the other days where we're examining what's wrong with this team and the whole mixed bag. It just comes down to this.
This is it. This is like
Atlanta.
This is like the movie script. This is Rocky IV, whatever. Pick a movie where you've got all your way here. You fought your way to the top. Now you've got to go beat the team that has been your nemesis. The bully. Pick a movie. The bully that's beating down the kid. The kid works up the courage the entire way. Then in the end, he's facing off with the bully. Now it's time for the hero to win. The Mets have to beat the bullies. They have to beat the Braves. Rocky's got to go out there and beat Drago. You know, Drago's owned Rocky and Apollo and everybody else for years. You got to go out there and do it. It's not, you know what? You won the championship because Drago retired. No, you want to go beat the best. That's where we're at with this Mets team. It means more to me. Like, if the Mets would have gotten swept by the Phillies, but swept the Braves and got in, it would mean more that way. I don't care what they do against the Phillies. Let that play out in the postseason. I don't think there's a team, including the Yankees, that would worry me from the Mets' perspective. They've been the best team in baseball literally since June, the best record in the sport. There's one thing that they have to do. Beat the bully. Slay the dragon. Exercise the demons. In their house, beat the Atlanta Braves 2 out of 3.
I get it. We'll get these calls here. Mets fans are fired up. You should be. I think the good news for you, and again, I don't know what the scoreboard's going to read. Maybe a doubleheader tomorrow. The weather's coming in. We'll get to all that. Weather's going to be Thursday. They're not playing ball on Thursday. So today's good. Probably try to get that doubleheader. Keith was on with Boomer and Gio. Good spot this morning. He's fired up. They're fired up. The good news, though, without knowing how the series plays out, is the guys getting off the bus, in my opinion, even the ones who were there in 2022, I don't think that they carry the baggage that you and other long-term Met fans do and long-time Met fans. I think that's a great thing.
Wouldn't you take it? I want them to take it personally.
Well, you can, because they're in your division and you're fighting to the end.
Hey, they prevented the Mets from celebrating in 2022. Pete talks about not having a celebration. The Braves beat you. They swept you. They prevented you from having that celebration. If I feel like this and other fans feel like that, shouldn't Pete and Nimmo and Lindor take it even more personally?
Hey, I'm happy that you push back there, because generally I would say yes. You know, football, yes. Basketball, yes. But the sport of baseball, that can almost stifle you. I think this, listen, I don't know what they're going to do these next three games. I'm fairly confident the Mets will be ready to go. I know they're not afraid. And let's play ball. I mean, they've had an amazing season. Now it's time to punctuate it.
And I'll just say, getting to the postseason would be nice, but getting to the postseason by taking 2 of 3 from the Braves is what I want. I don't want just the postseason. I want to beat them in the
process.
Even
though it's a diluted Braves team, does that matter? It doesn't matter.
No, I know.
That actually would matter to me.
Even more so. Go in there and stomp them out.
That's more reason to win. But, like, if you do win 2 out of 3 or sweep, like, I guess it shouldn't really matter. But they're not they're not at their apex. Like, they're definitely
well,
a diluted,
I mean, the same thing
diminished
with the Jets,
team.
Jets beating the Pats, like, it still feels good for the fans.
But it didn't feel as good as if would it be Tom Brady.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, I mean, nothing we can do
or
about
Belichick.
That. I mean, I'd love to see the Braves at full strength and beat, full strength and
sure?
beat them. They're not, yeah. Well,
oh,
yes.
You want to see him beat them, but
well, yeah. To me, there's no backing in. I want the best of the best. You know, the Phillies are a great team, so everybody says the best. The Mets just took that 3 out of 4, so I wish the Braves were complete. I want to see the Mets beat them, but I don't care who's in their lineup. I need to see the Mets take 2 out of 3, and that will give me satisfaction. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire. Remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. David is in Queens. What's up, David?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? I want to talk NL MVP for a second. If I gave you a player whose team, when he was not in the lineup for 75 games, was 31-44, which is a 67-win team for the year, and when he was in the lineup for 81 games, they were 56-25, which is a 112-win team, wouldn't that be the epitome of an MVP?
Is that Mookie Betts? Who is that?
No, that's not.
Who
that's Francisco Alvarez.
Yeah, I mean, come on, what are we doing?
112
first
wins.
Call of the day. Yeah, yeah,
David,
yeah, give him the
David,
MVP award.
Are you a Mets fan?
Alvarez.
Are you a Mets fan?
Of course I'm a Mets fan.
Okay,
yeah.
Then why are you calling about the MVP race and bringing up a ridiculous point when the Mets are playing their biggest series in years tonight?
Well, what am I saying? I don't know what's going to happen the next 3 days.
Give me your feeling
on
it.
Alvarez is their most valuable player.
Right, well, you're wrong on that, and thank you for the call. He's not their most valuable player. So nobody knows what's going to happen, but we can talk about the excitement of what might happen and what needs to happen in our mind. Whether you say, you know what, I don't think the Mets need to win 2 out of 3. Just get into the playoffs. That's what I care about. I'm saying I don't care about the playoffs. Beat them 2 out of 3 in their house. That means more to me. I've seen the Mets be in the postseason many times over the last 25 years. Not nearly enough, but I've seen them. I've never seen them ever once beat Atlanta in Atlanta with the season on the line in September. Never. I've never seen it. Whether it's the postseason in 1999, whether it's the end of the regular season, and you want to talk about 98, you want to talk about 2001, you want to talk about 2022. Now, generally, remember, the Braves have dominated the division, and the rare times the Mets were up, it wasn't the Braves that
yeah.
were there.
Yeah.
It was the Nationals in 2015,
mm-hmm.
2006. There was nobody. The Mets ran roughshod over the National League, as Gary Cohen famously said when they clinched the division. I've never seen the Mets beat that damn team in their building at the end of the year. And that is what I want to see.
So again, what you want to see and what you expect to see could be two very... They could be the same. They could be very different. What do you expect to see?
Well,
we know what you want.
Truth be told, I do believe in this team. However, every time, and me personally, specifically, like in 2022, obviously, I really believe the Mets are going to win the division. I think they and the Braves then beat them and made them look like a laughingstock. Even this year, when I saw the Mets take the night Senga got hurt,
yep.
That, to me, cemented that the Mets were going to be a playoff team. I really believed that they were better than Atlanta and were going to be a playoff team. And then they lost the next two to the Braves and kind of went in a little bit of a rut, and the Braves came back up. So before I sit here and say that I'm confident in this team, I just need to... I am believing in this team. I've been believing that they're a playoff team for a long time now. But I need to see them do it against this team.
Yeah, listen, I get it. It's one of those things. You got to scratch the itch.
Now, even if the Mets are better... So like, do you think the Phillies are better than the Mets?
Yes.
Okay. And the Mets just took 3 out of 4. So even if the Mets are better than the Braves,
mm-hmm.
the Braves do have Chris Sale. The Braves are on Atlanta.
I know.
Like, they could easily take 2 of 3 for the Mets.
I understand.
That's what I'm saying. So it's not just like, well, the Mets are better. That's the point. But this is the one. This one means more because of the history. Jeff is at Oceanside. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff.
What? Good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's happening,
good.
Buddy?
If the Mets don't take 2 out of 3. The Mets, unfortunately, don't take 2 out of 3. I don't like the math because of this tiebreaker and the game, no 163. You got to go in there. You got to win the 2 out of 3. That eliminates the Braves, and then you just kind of finish the season. I don't want to go into Milwaukee up by 1, where basically I have to sweep. Because if I take 2 out of 3 from the Brewers and the Braves sweep, they get that game, and they win the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that?
Here's the thing, Jeff. Thank you for the call. The math is what it is. Forget the damn Brewers. Forget everything else. The Mets have a chance, just like they did in 2022, to go out there now and totally redeem themselves. Just win 2 out of 3, and you're in. You stamp your ticket and stomp on the Braves, maybe knock them out. I don't know the math with the Braves and Diamondbacks, although Diamondbacks lost last night.
They did, yeah.
So there's still, I believe, a way, even if the Mets took 2 out of 3 from the Braves, where they could get in over Arizona.
What if the Mets sweep them?
Then probably not.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
No, so the Mets could eliminate Atlanta, but if for their own purposes, I'm not asking for too much. Just get 2 out of 3, secure that you're in, and prove that you could beat them. If they happen to be in the postseason, good. I'd look forward to seeing them again if that were the case. Then it'd really be fun taking on the Braves in the postseason. But I can't worry about, well, even if they lose, they might mathematically. No, mathematically, all you got to do is win this series, just like you had to in 2022. It's the perfect storyline. Pete talks about a storybook.
Yeah.
And then he goes 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. Yeah. This is the storybook. This is it. The same team that embarrassed you 2 years ago, that prevented you from celebrating with champagne 2 years ago, you have a chance to beat them again in their house after you got swept last time. Just beat them 2 out of 3 and you're in. You get to celebrate in their house and potentially send them home. This is gives me goosebumps thinking about it. This is the storybook. Now they need to finish the script here.
You don't know what is going to come back around like this. Think about when the Knicks and the Pacers were battling in the 90s,
right,
and how long it was really between that rivalry being restored. And think about what we watched this past May, you know, with OG getting hurt and the Knicks, yep, flushing that series down. And it felt like the old days, but it was a long time, you know, like where it took to get back to that moment of that energy here. So I think that in a lot of ways, you know, you torn it a few different directions, but you just got to suck it up. And this is what you want. You know, you have a chance to just shut that stadium up and just shove it down their throat.
Right.
Now, listen, man.
Stop the chop.
No doubt. Is Lindor playing?
Well, that's a whole other thing.
I mean, is Lindor playing?
But you're talking about, I don't want to hear excuses. The Braves aren't 100% either. Like,
yeah,
to me, Lindor didn't play against the Phillies. They just took 3 out of 4.
That's true.
There is no excuse here. Go beat this damn team. Mike is in Hasbrook Heights. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Great show. So, I'm the biggest Braves fan in North Jersey. Have been since 1982. I'm not calling it a bust the Mets chops. I give them all the credit in the world. What a season. Congratulations. So I just thought I'd give you guys, I'm a 365-day-a-year Braves fan, a little perspective on my end going into the series. You guys got Schwellenbach, Sale tomorrow,
yeah,
and then Fried. Mm. You got to win tonight. Now, Schwellenbach, just a little insight on Schwellenbach, because he's the newer pitcher on the staff.
Yep.
You got to get to him early. He does get stronger as the game goes on.
Well, let me ask tomorrow, you, Mike, what's your confidence level, yeah, from a Braves perspective?
I'm going to be honest with you, Sal. I'm going to be honest with you. About a month ago, when Albies and then Riley went down, I gave up on the season, and I conceded to the Mets. So the fact that we're still in this position as a Braves fan, and I think I speak for most of us, this is almost gravy at this point.
All right, but how do you feel?
We shouldn't be here.
How do you feel about taking on the Mets? Are you lacking confidence? Because it sounds like you're lacking confidence. I want to know: do you think that they're going to beat the Mets, where they always beat down the stretch?
I honestly think we're going to win 2 out of 3. I think we'll maybe lose tonight and then win tomorrow and then the next day with free.
See,
that's my opinion.
Even you, thank you for the call, Mike. Appreciate you taking the time. Even the Brave fan admitting that he gave up on the season, still confident they're going to take 2 out of 3 from the Mets.
But that's what happens when you've got those receipts from the past. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Now, eventually the receipt expires and you can't return it anymore, you know. But when you have those in your pocket, it's a belief that is a strong, that's like a drug. It's like, hey, no matter what happened, we're banged up, or this guy's hurt, or this circumstance happened. You know, you just find a way, at least mentally, to... you know, prepare yourself for something good. And conversely, from a Mets perspective, you're kind of doing the opposite. You're always latching on to, well, we haven't done this and we haven't done that, and it's a house of horrors, and last year with Bassett. And hey, then the three guys who pitched last year aren't pitching this series, okay? So I think it's a very different DNA. It's a different manager. It's a different energy. Now,
and hopefully it's different results.
I was going to say, it doesn't portend necessarily different results, but This is the bridge that you got to cross to shed those demons.
They need to slam that big, nasty giant, BT.
No, yeah.
Body slam that big, nasty giant and drop the leg on him. For once, beat this damn team in their house. If not now, when? I mean, they're vulnerable. I don't even care what's going on with the Mets as far as the injuries go. The Mets have proven they can beat anybody any given night. The resiliency they've shown. The Braves are down even more. Go beat them in their house for once and pop the champagne. It would be the storybook ending. I don't even care if Pete goes 0 for 4. or 0-12 in a series. Get it done. BT and Sal, the Fail will come back, have more equals. We'll discuss the lineup without Lindor and what we would do if Lindor comes back and what we think is going to be the status of that. Also get into some Giants as well a little bit later on in the show. But, hey, Yankees have a chance to clinch tonight. We can get to them as well. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. I was surprised. I'd be curious to get your take here. I was surprised that we did not see Lindor at all in Philadelphia. Like, against the Nats, okay, fine. You want to sit him out, a little extra rest, heal that thing up. But against the Phillies, I thought we'd see him back in there. And then all four games, no Lindor. I would be stunned if he's not in there tonight, and I think that would be indicative of how serious this is. If Francisco Lindor is not in the Mets lineup tonight in Atlanta, I'm not sure when we're going to see him again, if at all.
I mean, even if he is in the lineup, how... where is he? You know, I don't know. I'd be very worried about this. The back is not a hamstring or a groin or a labrum. It's just wildly unpredictable. There's not even many tests you could really do to just see where you're at. I mean, you know, so his back's been bothering him for a while. Does he really? How aggressively can you test it? It's kind of like an oblique where you almost can't do a whole lot. I would love to see him out there. Without him, we're not even talking about the Mets right now.
Right.
But I'd be surprised if he's not diminished the rest of the way, if he plays.
The other part of that is Acuña has been on fire.
He's been
E. Lindor's production hasn't been missed because Acuña has been producing at a very high level. Let's say Lindor does come back. What do you do with that lineup? You just have an Acuña on the bench, or would you try to get him in the start? Like, for me, I think J.D. Martinez has to be the first guy out. He's done nothing. He's done nothing! I like J.D. Martinez's veteran presence. He should not be in the lineup. He's a waste.
Yeah.
So how about even have Lindor DH and have Acuña at short, or put Acuña at third and have Vientos DH? Either way, I want Bader. I'm not messing around. I know you brought this up yesterday with Acuña in center. I'm not messing around with that. And Keith talked about it with Boomer and Gio this morning as well. I wouldn't have him in center field, but I could see how you can move the DH and have Vientos DH, say, and keep Acuña at third base.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if Lindor can DH, I think he could probably play short, I think. I mean, and I think that Keith said it was the more from the left side, right? Where it's more problematic swinging the bat from the left side.
So you think he'd be okay if he could hit? You think he'd be okay to field?
I mean, I would think so. I mean, that's just some common sense. I mean, I know it's more taxing, you know, bending and being out there 9 innings.
Yeah.
And understood. But to me, like the explosive, the torque unleashing a swing, if he could do that, you know, he probably can handle shortstop, probably. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't expect him not to play tonight, but I don't expect him to play tonight. I really don't know what to expect with him.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Been a while.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Owen is calling from New Milford. What's up, Owen?
Let's go, fellas. Let's go.
Here you go,
Atlanta
Owen.
Tonight. Let's go. You think you're good enough? Let's go win 2 out of 3. Don't even worry about Milwaukee. You think you're the big dogs, you know, in New York with the Yankees and the Mets? Come on now. Take 2 out of 3. Beat Atlanta. We've seen this before, Sal. But we have some veterans now that are a little bit different in 2022. You have J.D. Martinez, you know, been there. Winker's good. A little more veteran leadership on the team that, I think is going to lead them 2 out of 3. Go beat an ace tomorrow in Chris Sale. I had some doubts throughout the year, but I think Mendoza has a really good shot at manager of the year. He's going to have these boys ready to go. And like I said, big boy time, as Mendoza said, going out there to see Diaz in the 9th inning. It's go time. Shout out to BT, former Mac. Baseball player here as well.
Oh, there you go.
Let's
there
go, boys.
Go.
It's go time.
Well, I mean, listen, you're a former baseball player. You should know that, you know, Martinez, he's gotten a hit in 7 weeks. I feel like he hasn't gotten a hit. So, you know, I like the Mets, their look right now, the feel, the energy, everything about the Mets right now. The two names that he referenced are odd, though, because Martinez hasn't done anything and Winker doesn't even play every game.
But what they bring as far as the intangibles, chemistry, clubhouse, veteran presence.
I mean, that sounds good, and I do think there's value there, certainly with Martinez, you know, and I've talked about this. That's why I thought it would be good to sign him. you know, just even around the batting cage, looking at the iPads and pitching patterns. There's stuff that we don't see there. He's very much influenced the development of young players. Get some hits. I mean, if Jadon Martinez can start hitting the ball a little bit, that's a nice little coup for the Mets.
I'd put him on the bench. I just think the important...
Yeah, I might sit him too.
The important part of Winker and J.D. Martinez is not necessarily what they do on the field, but what they could bring off the field, specifically in a series like this where it could be in their head, especially if the Braves start to get up on them early. That crowd, the guys that have been here before are going to be feeling that. And I know this predates them. Again, this goes back to 1998. We're talking about over 25 years of bad history with the Mets in Atlanta. Different ballparks, different teams, same results. But I think those guys, Winker has brought excellent chemistry and great energy. J.D. Martinez, maybe get them to relax a little bit and just treat this like another series. So though that, I think, is what he's talking about. But yeah, ultimately, somebody's going to go out there and produce.
Yeah, I don't lean too much on that stuff. Not that it doesn't matter at all. It certainly does, even though nobody can really quantify it. But if that was the case, then why didn't Bassett, Scherzer, or Verlander, you know, impart their wisdom a couple of years ago and get their fellow Met teammates to settle down and play some more crisp ball?
Yeah, which is why I thought that they were soft. I thought they were soft in 2024. This team has been anything but, but they got to prove it now and go beat the Braves. Ray is in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Ray?
Hi, guys. Great job, as always. You know, I'm confident, but what worries me a little bit is that hurricane. I don't sales pitching tomorrow. I hope MLB moves the game up, because I don't want to come back there Monday and face Sale for a second time. I don't want to give them that chance to throw Sale again.
Yeah, I didn't even think about I didn't think about that, Ray, and thank you for the call. I think it's more about just these games in this short period of time, whether it's 3 and 2 days. It doesn't seem like it's going to be possible to play Thursday.
They're not playing Thursday.
Right? And just based on everything that we've heard, it doesn't seem like it's going to be possible to play a baseball game in a hurricane on Thursday, which means that you better hope that it's a doubleheader tomorrow, because if not, I didn't even think about projecting that forward to Monday, other than it's sucking in general, because the Mets then would have to play that game, which, by the way, might not even mean anything to them at that point.
True.
They could have eventually or already clinched over the weekend and then still have to play that game because it means something to the Braves, and then go to San Diego, let's say, the next day to start that series. But I didn't think of the fact that they have to face Chris Sale potentially as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking down the road, and we've seen some wacky occurrences with baseball, which is why you handle business and you don't have to worry about wacky occurrences.
Yeah.
Go win some games.
You're going to play two, at least.
Yeah.
Go win the two games. Well, then it doesn't matter.
Now, I don't know how you possibly come up with your answer. It's really just a guess or an opinion, but do you think it would be more beneficial to the Mets? Not that they can influence the weather, but if you had your say, would you rather go, you know, boom, 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 or boom, boom, boom? Meaning,
I'd rather play it all three straight days.
So conventional Tuesday, Wednesday,
like
Thursday.
Doubleheader.
I'll tell you what, I kind of do like the doubleheader, because think about how tough it is to sweep. Now, the stats bear this out. Doesn't mean that it would actually come to fruition, but in this instance, the one thing the Mets can't do is get swept.
Right.
Can't get swept. And in the series. And to me, just based on the numbers that back it up, the likelihood of splitting a doubleheader in the same day is higher than splitting the Wednesday Thursday game.
Right, but why do you think that is? It's still two different baseball games.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why.
And I would say a lot more often than not. First of all, doubleheaders aren't generally played under these circumstances, meaning down the stretch
forced
in must-win games
and forced.
But most often, if you see doubleheaders midseason, it's two totally different lineups. You know, if the team that wins the first game basically throws out the secondary lineup in the second game, maybe that leans more to the split, but it doesn't make any sense. The starter's still the starter.
I know what you're
saying. It's still a separate game. We've also seen sweeps before in doubleheaders, so I don't think the law of average, well, yeah, you split, you generally a doubleheader. Yeah, maybe, but it doesn't always work like that. And also, I think this would be different because I think both teams will be putting out their best lineup both games.
Yeah, I mean, also, if you have the doubleheader, I don't know if they would do it day-night. Probably not. They would probably go in succession. But do you have more empty seats the first game because it's kind of an unconventional starting time or something that people hadn't built into their schedule? That could be advantage Mets rather than having, you know, 30-something thousand Raucous Braves fans there.
Tell you another thing, no chance Lindor plays two games in one day.
No, that's true too.
So if he plays, there's no way he would be playing both games in the double. I just don't like messing with, just leave it the way that it is. And also this game, by the way, Thursday is supposed to be a makeup game. So it's already been messed with. It's supposed to be a two-game series, but Thursday's a makeup game for earlier in the year. So, I mean, I wish it were just a game Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, not a doubleheader. But it does seem like we're heading in the doubleheader direction on Wednesday.
If I say to you right now, Lindor play tonight, what do you think?
My heart says yes, my gut says no.
Yeah, my gut's saying no as well.
Because I thought he was going to be in there against Philly. Now, this will be the proof in the pudding. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he's not playing tonight, forget it. This is it. This is as big as it gets. He's got to play tonight. But my gut is just, I think it's more severe than they let on initially. We did a lot of football yesterday, obviously, with the Giants win. We'll look forward to the Giants and Cowboys Thursday night, getting week four already in the NFL started. We started the show, BT, talking about the Mets. Yankees have a chance to win the division tonight, but it just feels like, I mean, are we wrong for taking them for granted? The Yanks, they're so good. Yeah, but they're going to win the division. It's like, ho-hum. Okay, in the postseason, win a division, and it's like, yeah, get me to October and see what you do there.
Well, that's where we're at. I'm not taking it for granted once they get there, but it's very odd because we did point to the series for months, yeah, especially the way the season series started down in Baltimore in April, where Rodon got smacked around that final game, and Heel, it was a four-game series, right? Yanks lost 3 out of 4.
Right.
Heel pitched well, and everybody else really bombed, and they didn't look very good, and it was a point of emphasis for a lot of people that the Orioles, all right, here we go, young players, and has the, I don't want to say transition of power started, because the Yankees didn't really have any power last year. They weren't even a playoff team. But it's been largely anticlimactic, which I'm fine with. You know, the Yankees now are looking to bury this team, get one more, it's over. They're up six to go. Pirates after that, you know, probably not going to be in a whole lot. So you can really shuffle the deck, get the rotation right. Clark Schmidt's going tonight. Unless they change it, he'll get another start. I want to see where he's at. They still got to really lock down that rotation.
Right.
You know, Austin Wells, who was in a funk for a little bit, started to show a little life the last game or two. Judge has been red hot. You just want to see, you know, Gleyber Torres has been rolling a little bit here. The bullpen's really been nice with the reallocation of roles. So at this point, it's about staying sharp, staying healthy, and it's about October for this team.
They won't play a meaningful game until October 5th, which is game one of the division series. Like, I mean, I guess if we're minimizing tonight and...
No, I don't want to minimize it to that point.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, we know it's a foregone conclusion. It's over, so there is no drama. They'll win a game probably tonight, if not tomorrow, or whatever, and clinch the division and celebrate. But really, the next time that we're going to watch this team and judge them based on the results of a game is going to be that October 5th.
I'm still a believer, though, in those messages that you send here. And, you know, I'm not looking to give Baltimore any life. I'm not.
That is true.
Lost a couple straight, 7 of 10. Like, they've been in a prolonged stretch of a very uninspiring baseball. And, you know, not that this is the 77 or 98 Yankees, you know, it remains to be seen, obviously. But you don't need the Orioles to be galvanized by winning a couple in the Bronx and starting to get their mojo back. So, you know, you just control what you can control. The Yankees have played really crisp ball for a while. And I pointed out to Sal a few times now, I like that. While they weren't always pretty, the Royals game, the Cubs series, yeah, where they handled business out in Chicago, didn't score a lot of runs. The Yankees have been playing some tight, high-leverage games for a while, and I think it's really prepared them for October.
Yeah, that got them going, and then they just kicked it into another gear as of late and are finally playing their best baseball of the season at the perfect time. Also have a two-game lead over Cleveland, so they should be the number one seed in the American League. Everything going well for the Yanks. But there's more drama right now with the Mets, who still don't know if they're going to be in the postseason, and of course taking on their nemesis in Atlanta. Harris is calling from East Meadow. What's up, Harris?
What's up, guys? Just before I give my Met point, I just want to tell you guys, I've been big fans, both of you individually, and especially you, Sal, overnight. It was awesome. I kind of missed you overnight, but
thank you. We appreciate
you guys,
it.
You guys are awesome together, and it's a good chemistry, and I wish you only great success going forward.
Thank you.
That's very nice. Thanks,
this,
buddy.
My Met point is this. I know we're saying take 2 out of 3, but, you know, this Mets season has been up and down, but this is sort of like taking a wrestling analogy is finishing the story.
Yeah.
And nothing will be greater than to finish the story with taking care of taking on our nemesis and getting rid of them. And it's not, I'm looking at it this way, not taking 2 out of 3, not taking 1 out of 3. It's taking the same mindset that's been going on this whole season, is taking one game at a time. But you know what? Before I forget, you guys were talking about what happens if Lindor comes back, or if he's an option. What do you do with J.D. Martinez? I'll tell you the truth. this whole season turned around when JD hit that home run in the ninth inning.
But it feels like he hasn't had a hit in a month. And thank you for the call. Here's the thing. Just because he's been in the lineup every day here doesn't mean that you need to continue with him in the lineup every day if there are better options. If Francisco Lindor can come back healthy, how could you justify taking Acuna out of the lineup and keeping J.D. Martinez in? You're based on history, sure, but I'm going based off of who's hot right now. The Mets have done that all year, hold guys accountable. If you're hot, you got to find a way to get... move however you want to move somebody else in the DH spot and get Martinez out.
I mean, it's not a lifetime pass because was that a granny? Was it a granny?
It was a couple of big ones, the big one
at right center.
It was so long ago, I forget.
I know. Let me ask you this, and you'll see where I'm going. Who, Sal, do you think, if you look back to those Yankee dynasty teams, right? 96, none of those teams. Who do you think was the main source of power? They had a lot of guys that hit some home runs, but the most consistent home run threat.
I mean, Bernie is the first guy that comes to mind.
I would say Tino. Okay. Do you realize, you probably do because you do this, but I mean, many of you probably don't. Tino Martinez didn't play in Atlanta.
Right.
Tino Martinez sat multiple games because Cecil Fielder was a hotter hitter based on the matchups, and he rewarded Joe Torre, big base hit to right field. Tino, superior fielder, not even close at that point. And obviously a vital offensive cog as a power source for the Yankees. But that was then, and then you got to October, and they were down 0-2, and it was matchup-driven, gut, whatever. You got to do what you got to do. I mean, I know that J.D. Martinez has had nice influence on this team. I respect him. I heard him the other night talking about on the broadcast where he was a little bit too erect in the box, like where he was, and then he had to find a little more bend, so to speak, to get a little more, whatever, you know, baseball terminology. He had to change his approach, which he did. And, yeah, hopefully that yields some results. But he has been ice cold for a long time.
And you trust him because of his track record and pedigree. But at some point, if you don't have a better option, understood. But you do have, potentially. Like, I don't want to take a coup. I said it, you know, a week and a half ago, whatever it was when he first came up. Boy, this guy's got to be on the postseason roster. Well, all he's done since then is continue to get better and rake. It doesn't mean that he's going to continue to do that. Who knows? Maybe he gets cold and then the decision is made easily for you. Hey, he's cold. You take him out. But how could you take Acuna out of the lineup now?
I don't think you could justify it because he could beat you more ways than one. You know, Martinez, maybe he can get hot. And if he does, then he's highly capable of quality at bats. I don't care how good a pitcher is. You know, a big two-run bomb the other way, a double in the gap, a bullet down the line, sure. But if he's 0-4, he's completely useless. Acuna could go 0-4 and still help you win a game.
I think they got to get creative and not creative to the point. And by the way, Bader, everybody's like, well, Bader's not hitting. Yeah, okay, he's not hitting, but he plays excellent defense in center field, and he's been proven in the clutch in the postseason. In this town in particular, I'm leaving Harrison Bader alone in center field. I would much rather have Vientos DH and have Acuna at third.
I can't put him at third base. He's never played third.
Who, Acuna?
Has he?
Well, I don't think he has. If you play short, you can't play third.
I hear you. I mean, I know it seems easy. I wouldn't mess around. That's a little bit nuts there. I'm not putting him on third base.
That's more
now.
Nuts than having him. He's a shortstop. He can't play third.
But he's played a lot of outfield as well.
Every shortstop known to man can play third base.
Well, not necessarily.
And by the way, okay, then play second base and move Iglesias
to third.
That's
different.
Yeah, I mean,
I would do that.
Yeah,
that's different.
I mean, he's an infielder.
Footwork. It's different. I know what you mean. I mean, when you dump it down, sure. I mean, just go 15 feet to your right, catch a ground ball, make a good throw. It's not that simple.
Yeah,
a second base, I'm fine. Third base, there's no way the Mets will do that.
Well, whatever. Move Iglesias there. I mean, he's got to be better than Vientos. Vientos has been serviceable, but I mean, Acuna. You tell me he can't play third. Hoff, did Acuna? I missed it this morning. I know I heard Keith say it, but I forget if he said. Who is it? Dick Scott or whoever it was down in the minor league said Acuna could play second, short, and I think center. I'm not sure if he said third base or not, but see what Acuna's deal is.
I know he's played some outfield.
He's never played third at all?
I don't think so, but okay. I could be off on that. Yeah. I know he plays, you know, short and outfield.
I would just assume. Anthony is calling from Cape Coral, Florida. What's up, Ant?
Hello, Ant.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man? Appreciate you taking the call.
You got it,
buddy. I really want to make two quick points, and then I'll listen to you guys. But first, Sal, I agree with you in this instance, man. Like, and I mean this with all due respect. You sound like a lover scorned when it comes to the Mets. You need to see it, and I'm with you on that because it would just be not only a good way to go down there and punch them in the face, celebrate on their field, and kind of bring a little bit of pride back. But so I'm with you on that, but. 2 points, one on Alvarez and one on Lindor real quick. So, BTI, the one thing I got to push back on is if Lindor can even sniff coming back,
yep,
he stays off the field. I'm keeping him off the field. Like, if he has to dive for a ball,
yeah,
or stretch, or I get it, and he could do that swing in the back, but I'm taking every opportunity for him to not miss an at-bat off of the table. So I'm keeping him off. I'm sticking Sal. If we take Acuna off of this roster at all, we're nitwits.
Yeah.
So he has to stay where it is, keep Lindor where he is, or if Lindor, let him DH if he can.
Yeah, I mean, you're still losing something there, and thank you for the call. Because part of Lindor's MVP appeal is his excellent defense.
Yeah, and think about the way he got hurt. He didn't get hurt swinging. He got hurt at second base, right? That's where he first kind of tweaked it when he was trying to go back to second base. So, yeah. I mean, he could get hurt. Say if you don't play him at shortstop and they take the prudent route, which I understand, and he rifles one of the gap and he slides to the second on a double. You know, it's high leverage, two out, you're down a run, you got to slide. It's not, you know, it's not like middle of April or June where you can say, all right, I could just give, like Stanton. Hey, Stanton, don't hurt yourself. I mean, if you got to slide, you got to slide.
Right.
I mean, this is big boy time.
You're going to play, so you got to play.
You can't put him out there in bubble wrap here. So I believe, my gut is he will not play tonight. I hope he does. But my opinion is, if he's able to hit, then I would think that he would be able to play short. So, but what do I know?
Right, so it's not just going to be, okay, you're okay to hit, but you can't play the field. If he's healthy, he's playing. That's what
I would think so. Yeah. I hope so.
And by the way, just to clarify, you were right. So Acuna has not played. He's only played second, short, and center. Still, to me, logically speaking, like, it's easy. Then just put him at second and move Iglesias to third. Also, you would think if a guy could play short, he should be able to play third. But I would not. I don't care how many games he's played in center field. No chance I'm messing with him. He hasn't played a game in center field in the big leagues. That's a big difference. You can get away with him at third,
mm-hmm,
not even having experience. You can't mess around in center field. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls on the other side, 888-808-1019.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.